panel this morning consists of Judge Petty, Judge Frank, and myself, Judge Huff. And the docket will first hear the writ cases, beginning with the case of Riddick versus the Commonwealth. Mr. Neely, you have up to 10 minutes. I'll keep track of the time here, and you don't need to use all of the 10 minutes. We've read the materials, but ready to hear from you, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, and I am Robert Neely. I'm representing Robert Bruce Riddick in Riddick versus the Commonwealth on this appeal from conviction Circuit Court of Northampton County. The issue on appeal in this case is whether or not the judge properly convicted him of identity theft based upon the theft of a Social Security card when in rendering its decision, the judge seemed to say that the statute did not require him to have stolen it with the or taken it with the intent to defraud. The evidence at trial, and I will just advise, so I wasn't the trial attorney in this case. I got the case basically even after the petition for appeal had been filed. But I think it's pretty clear what the what the appellate's point was. From reading the transcript. At trial, Riddick himself testified that, now while conceding that Riddick stole Mr. Harris's credit card, and apparently there was sufficient evidence that he had tried to use the credit card, which was another charge altogether, that he was found convicted of, that was, we concede that point, but Riddick testified at trial that the Social Security card was simply there. I mean, he testified that he was given the card, either that or he inadvertently picked up the Social Security card when he was getting it. I think that was his testimony with regard to the Social Security card, that when he was getting his things together to move out of Harris's residence, he inadvertently picked it up. There was no specific evidence at trial that he used the Social Security card in any way to defraud. Certainly, any specific use. There was no specific use of the Social Security card that in any way impaired the rights of the of Mr. Harris, whose card it was.
Mr. Neely.
Yes, sir.
The argument seems to be that. Your argument seems to be that the court erred by concluding intent to defraud was not an element of the offense. I'm looking at the assignment of error, and I wonder whether that assignment of error actually encompasses that argument. It seems to be a straight up, the evidence was insufficient to show that he had an intent to defraud.
Yes, Your Honor, filing, for this demand, I actually did not have the benefit of having read the petition for appeal. I did have the transcript and the the court's the per curiam opinion, and I understand exactly what you're saying. From the testimony surrounding the motion to strike, my impression is that, and reading the per curiam opinion. My impression was that counsel's argument is that this was the court erred because the court believes that 18.2-186.3A did not require the intent to defraud.
But that would be a legal error. The insufficiency of the evidence would be a factual error. Wouldn't that be correct?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor, and I would argue that I think he was also arguing that the evidence was insufficient, that the charge was taken with the intent to defraud, primarily because there was no specific evidence that the Social Security card was used to do any of the things that are enumerated in 18.2-186.3A, and then the 1, 2, 3, and 4, the paragraphs that delineate specific conduct that amounts to identity theft based on the under the circumstances cited in paragraph A of that statute. That's what I gathered counsel's argument was, that there was either way there was insufficient evidence that the card was taken with the intent to defraud. And honestly, Your Honor, I kind of gathered that counsel's argument was also that the court having erred and found him guilty based on the court's misreading of that was error. And on behalf of Mr. Riddick, we'd like the court to take another look at that issue.
All right. Is there anything further, Mr. Neely?
Your Honor, no, that's it. And I certainly appreciate the opportunity to have you, reconsider this issue. And,
all right. Very well. Thank you. The case is submitted, and we appreciate the argument. We'll move on to the case Dudley versus Wegman. Dudley versus the Commonwealth. Mr. Wegman, are you on with us? I hear no response from Mr. Wegman, and so let's pass that for now and go to a case of Giles versus the Commonwealth. Judge Frank, are you ready for Giles? And Judge A, are you ready for Giles?
I'm ready.
I'm good. I just wanted to make sure I said I both you on the line. Okay, Giles versus Ms. Paulies.
Yes, thank you. May it please the court, Abigail Paulus in lieu of David Whaley arguing for the petitioner, Broderick R. Giles. Broderick Giles is requesting that this honorable court grant his petition for appeal, specifically arguing that the trial court in Prince George County erred in finding that Mr. Giles acted with malice in killing his brother, Lathius Giles, on July 14th of 2018. Mr. Giles is...
Robert Wegman's office, can I help you?
Yes, this is Deborah with the Clerk's Office of the Court of Appeals of Virginia. They're waiting for him on the telephone conference call.
Okay, what case is this on?
This is Dudley.
Dudley. Okay, can you hold on for a minute? Thank you.